What's up, folks? This is the second episode of the Adjacent Hex podcast. I'm Zach, and as with every month, I'm joined by Doug. How's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You played anything interesting lately?
Yeah, I got to play something brand new, actually. I think you got to play it too, but we didn't play it together. A game called Elysium.
Yeah, actually, I went over to visit our mutual friend Eric, and he introduced me to that game. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was an enjoyable game. I hadn't heard much about it, even though there's quite a bit of buzz about it right now. But he brought it up, and we played a game, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I really liked, I like the theme. I mean, I've always been sort of a fan of the sort of Greek and Roman mythology sort of feel, and I've never really seen a board game capture it quite as well as Elysium did.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. I liked all the different gods, how they all had different card sets and powers, and you could mix it up. A little bit like Dominion, sort of add the decks of cards that you want in there. I thought that was really cool. And I like that the gods themselves are sort of characters, and you can buy them and keep them out and like earn victory points by purchasing their deck of cards, or you know, bringing that below your pillar to score, that type of thing. I thought that was really cool.
I really liked the fact that you had to make decisions on the fly as to, well, do I want this card to be useful to me in further rounds of the game, or do I just want to bank this and try and go for the victory points?
Yeah, really sort of a, I don't know if press your luck is the right term, but you got to find that balance between the useful power above the bar versus getting those victory points that you need to win.
Yeah, it really makes you think in a way that you don't get to very often, and I appreciated that about it.
You know what? I thought it was more take that than I expected during the setup.
Yeah, Eric introduced it to me in a way that it made it not feel so much like a take that game. But once we started playing, I'm like, oh, this really has a pretty strong take that attitude to it.
Yeah, you could really, because everybody has to buy those four tiles at the top, and you can only buy one of that pillar you've got that matches the color. And if you see somebody's only got, say, their yellow and blue pillar, and you buy up those yellow and blue cards, and there's nothing they can do, they have to take one of the really less good, I guess, kind of crappy cards.
Yeah, and if you get punished like that, if you get to a point, and Eric, this happened to Eric, if you get to a point where you can't afford one of those pillars, you really get the short end of the stick for the next round.
Yeah, you really do. Really do.
Is there anything else you've been looking forward to or played lately?
I got to play a game. This was also something Eric brought up. This is on the same day. It was called Harbor. He said it's like a smaller, quicker version of Le Havre, which I'd never played. It's a resource management. You're trying to collect cattle and stone and food and all that sort of stuff, and you sell it at the market to build buildings.
That sounds
fun. It was interesting. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. All the buildings have a power, and nothing is uniquely yours except for the victory points. Like, if you bought a building, I could move my character to that building, as long as nobody else was on it already, and used the power on there. So everybody's sort of bouncing around the board, and the market has this interesting way of rotating. So, like, your stone, which is really garbage right now, give it a couple turns, and you might make real bank. So part of it is finding that balance between what can I do right now versus what's going to be really valuable to me 2 or 3, 4 rounds from now. So you're trying to strike that balance, and you don't want to get left behind, because everybody else, if their stuff is valuable now, they're going to be buying up those victory points. You gotta really work at it. But it was fun. It was a good game. I enjoyed it.
Nice. I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, that was a good day for me. I actually ended up with a victory in both games, which is rare.
Yeah.
You don't usually win.
Especially when Eric's teaching games, he has a way of blabbering on for a while.
He's not the most succinct teacher of games.
Yeah, he often loses my attention before he reaches the whole conclusion, which was part of my undoing in Elysium, because he missed a key point.
Which was what?
I, for the life of me, I don't remember what it was. I think it was something to do with scoring. And
well, that's probably the most.
You know what it was?
Thing.
It was. I didn't realize that you could only get so many points for a run, I believe.
Oh yeah, when
I thought you could stack them off each other. And
okay,
so
you can get like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, in my game, I had a set of 5 twos.
Yeah.
For people who aren't familiar, you're trying to collect sets either of all of the same number but different suits, or a run on the same suit.
Yeah, and I kind of just assumed that it scored almost exactly like Rummy, and it turns out it does not. So that ended up losing the game for me. So kudos to you then for winning both of those with Eric at the helm.
I got lucky. It was a little bit of floundering. I think he may have held back the first round or two, especially with the take that elements.
Yeah.
But it only plays 5 rounds, but by round 2 or 3, it was a vindictive game. People were buying stuff up, and I was buying all these cards that would lose everybody else victory points and get me stuff. It was pretty nasty. It was more cutthroat than I usually play a game like that.
Absolutely. And once I found, you know, ways that I could, you know, stick a knife in Eric's back, I was doing it right and left, because that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, there's lots of opportunities.
Yeah.
There really are. It's interesting. It was a good game. Both were good games.
Well, I gotta say, the game that I'm looking forward to right now, specifically the expansion that I'm looking forward to right now, one of our favorite games is Tiny Epic Kingdoms from Gamelan Games. Boy, is that game fun. And they got an expansion going up on Kickstarter very, very soon called Heroes Call. And it looks, I mean, based on the box size of the original Tiny Epic Kingdoms and its sequel, Tiny Epic Defenders, I'm guessing that they're going to make this expansion fit in that original box.
Oh, you think so?
I think so. I haven't gotten confirmation from Michael Coe about that yet, although I did send him an email asking about that.
He didn't say anything?
I know he's at Origins right now at the time of recording, so... Right. I think he's probably a little bit busy with that.
Yeah, that might not be information he knows. Well, I don't know why he wouldn't want to share that. I know, like, another one of his games, Dungeon Heroes.
Yep, Dungeon
Heroes. Have you ever played Dungeon Heroes?
I have not played it. I do own it, though.
Okay, the expansions, I have it's a little box that comes with two. I don't have those in the base box. It's too much to fit. It's fine. They're both little boxes. It's not taking up tons of room on my shelf, but they don't fit. And I don't remember how much spare room there was in Epic Kingdoms.
I don't have the game in front of me, but I know my Dungeon Heroes set does fit all in that one box, although not very well. And my Tiny Epic Kingdoms and Defenders boxes both have a fair amount of space in them. So I see a little bit of space for expansion in those.
So maybe he can. Maybe he can do it.
I mean, I think that's something that the game companies struggle with a little bit, is fitting expansions into the main box that the base game comes with.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not just a problem they have. It's a problem gamers have, too. We have limited shelf space.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it broke my heart originally. I have Last Night on Earth and A Touch of Evil and Sentinels of the Multiverse, and I originally had all the cards in expansion components, whatever they may be, in the boxes they came with. But after a while, I just don't have the room on my shelf. And, you know, if I get rid of the expansion box for Last Night on Earth, because the first expansion, if you get rid of the insert, it all fits in the original box, and that's the difference between a new game fitting on that shelf or not. So I think, you know, sort of that breakdown.
Absolutely. I mean, I went out recently to Walmart and bought myself a board game shelf because my collection was just getting too big to keep storing on the floor.
Yeah, I found one on Craigslist. Yeah. They no longer fit under my coffee table.
Exactly. And, you know, for the longest time, I had my Sentinels of the Multiverse boxes on that shelf. And, you know, my games at this point fit in the original base expanded or enhanced edition box and the Vengeance box. It takes those two boxes to fit my entire Sentinels collection.
Yep.
That said, the art that Adam Ribotaro did for the small boxes is fantastic. And, you know, they're all sitting under here too. They're supporting my Sentinel Tactics Uprising box, which is full of miniatures.
So what you put all the cards in two big boxes, but still kept the little ones?
I did, because I can't, you know what? They're thrown out. I just threw them out. There's no reason for me to keep
right
them.
Right now?
Right now. Yep.
You just tossed them in the garbage while we were speaking?
Quite literally. Okay. Because there's no reason for me to keep them, honestly. They're pretty.
Yeah, they are.
All there that artwork boxes. Is available online.
Okay. Things are happening.
Yep, I'm going to have to make a garbage run after we're done recording here. But anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, and no, it is a big deal, though. Like, I needed a 4X game in my collection. But I wanted one. I kind of like war games. Not war games. I'm not a war gamer. But I like games like Kemet and Fortress America, stuff like that. Combat, minis, Ameritrash. Although I think we're trying to get away from that term.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I picked up Clash of Cultures.
Oh, that's
it's
a good one.
Yeah, I heard really good things about it. I did a lot of soul searching and a lot of research online, reviews and this and that. And I came with Clash of Cultures. But the reason I bring this up is because I just picked up the Clash of Cultures Civilizations expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was at the store, I asked the guy working there, my buddy Josh, if that expansion fit in the original box. Because it's not as big of a box as the original game, but it's also not something small. You can't stick it in a crevice above something else. And he told me that it absolutely did. And the first time he played it was with the expansion. It was all in one box. But that was a big... I don't know. I don't know if it was a deal breaker if it didn't fit in there, because I really wanted the expansion. I'll talk about that in a minute, but I think there are some games where if I can't get that expansion in the base box, I might not pick it up. I don't know if you feel the same or not. But
I do, and you know, to be honest, I've never actually thought to ask the clerk at the game store, whether it's Josh or me or, you know, whomever.
Right.
Whether or not a game expansion is going to fit in that original box. And I think that's going to have to be something I start doing, because, I mean, with the addition of the most recent game I bought, my shelf is down to maybe three slots for games. Mm-hmm. And I've got at
well,
least that
many coming
in on
Kickstarter. Well, you just got rid of a bunch of Sentinels boxes.
So yeah, well, I mean, those boxes are stored on a separate shelf, because for whatever reason, I keep my Sentinels stuff separate from the rest of my game collection.
Easy access.
Yeah, I mean, we do play it almost every week, so yeah.
Yeah, but that was a big thing. Now, I actually, this is stupid. I still haven't thrown the box away. It's all the stuff is still in there. I don't even know why I asked, but it's not on my shelf yet. It's sort of hovering on like my nightstand, and I'm looking at the components and the rules. But I'm really excited about that expansion, because the one thing about Clash of Cultures, like, I don't know if you've ever played Civilization.
Sid Meier?
Yeah.
I have played it. Wow, it's been a really long time since I played that. I think I had it on my Apple Performa back in the day.
Have you played the board game?
Oh, I didn't even realize it was a board game.
Yeah, it's a board game too. You know my buddy Tom?
I do know Tom.
He brought it over to my house and we played that game. And everybody's somebody different. Like, you're Abraham Lincoln or Cleopatra or Julius Caesar or Genghis Khan or whatever. But everybody is very distinct. Asymmetrical. I think the big problems with, as much as I like Clash of Cultures, one of the problems was everybody was the same.
Uh-huh.
You developed your civilization, and that made it asymmetrical, depending on where you put your energy, devote your energy there. But Clash of Cultures actually adds different societies.
Oh, wow. That's a really neat addition.
Yeah. The Japanese, the Romans, it adds hero people, the Carthaginians, all sorts of stuff. But maybe even more important than that is on the cover of the Clash of Cultures box, there's like this huge epic battle with all these soldiers, and there's horses and knights, and there's giant elephants, and you open the box and they weren't there.
Oh, that's so deceiving.
Yeah, it's really disappointing to just have like little guys with spears when you wanted those elephants. Well, the Civilizations expansion actually adds the elephants.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so you get the elephant units, you get the horse cavalry units, you get the different asymmetrical player powers, you get different heroes you can use, It adds pirates to the game, which is fun. A little bit of barbarian trouble.
Well, who doesn't love that?
Yeah, yeah. Pirates are always fun.
Well, I mean, speaking of pirates and games with copious quantities of expansions, I am shocked and in awe that the Firefly board game actually fits in one box.
Does all of it?
I have managed to get my entire Firefly set fully expanded into that one box.
Wow.
And much love to Gale Force 9 for putting that game together and actually making it feel like the television show. I mean, we've played that game a number of times in my playgroup, and we feel like we're flying through the verse being space pirates.
Oh yeah, it's dripping with theme. I can't say how it would feel to play it as a non-fan of Firefly, but as a huge fan of Firefly, going through and seeing the characters and the quotes and just saying the quotes out loud as you do stupid crap. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Or seriously, you know, damaging my calm or whatever people might say.
Absolutely. I mean, and to be fair, I was playing with a young man in our playgroup who had never seen Firefly in his life.
That's sad.
Oh, it was. I mean, granted, he just graduated from high school literally yesterday at time of recording. But oh,
congratulations to him.
Yeah. Way to go, Jack. We're all cheering for you in college.
Oh, I know Jack.
You know Jack. And he had never seen Firefly. And we sat down the day that the game came into our hands. And I think it was myself and my boss at the store and one of my fellow employees plus Jack. And not only did Jack say, I want this game and I want more of this game, but he also said, I'm going to go home and watch the TV show. Because of how thematic the whole game is.
Well, that's actually high praise, too, if you know Jack, because he does not take it easy on games. If he doesn't like something in a game, he is not afraid to share it.
Oh, he is very vocal about it. I mean, and he has gripes with almost every game product that he has either purchased or played. And with good reason. He's actually a very good judge of the good or bad qualities in a game. And when he says, I'm going to get this game, and he gets just as excited as we do when an expansion comes out for it. And, you know, here's me and Eric being complete dorks over Firefly, and just, like, anytime something comes out, we call it Ericing, and that's buying everything for a game product.
Completionist, right?
Completionism, but, like, extreme completionism. And I think Jack's set is just as perfectly Eric'd as the rest of ours.
I have a lot of the Firefly. I have the base game, obviously. Then I got the Breaking Atmo.
Yep, little pack.
Small little card pack, and that fit in there. And then I got the Artful Dodger. Was that the...
The Artful Dodger started as a promo in Game Trade magazine.
Okay.
Which, you know, I bought my set at from our friends at Jetpack Comics. And Ralph, the manager there, was like, oh, hey, I've got this random promo sitting around. Do you want it? And I was like, absolutely. Sure, random promo. Turns out to be a full separate ship with its own unique abilities.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And then they have the one that added the stuff for Serenity, right?
Oh, you mean the movie. Serenity the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
There was it's called the... Blue Sun expansion.
Yeah, the Blue Sun. That's the one. I have a Blue Sun t-shirt. I should probably own that. But that's the expansion I haven't quite got to for Firefly yet. But that's kind of a big box. I didn't know if that was going to fit in. All the other stuff that I have all fits in that base box. But I didn't realize the Blue Sun was going to be able to do that.
It was tight. I had to really, really get clever to get it in there.
Yeah.
And to be perfectly honest, if there's one expansion not to own of that, it's Blue Sun. It adds a full nother board segment and two more Reaver Cutters.
Yeah, I've seen that.
We've played a couple of games with it now. More often than not, you just don't even go into that section of the board.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of a bummer, because it adds Mr. Universe. It adds some just absolutely beloved plot points.
Why, just too difficult and too scary with the Reavers there? Or?
Partly, but partly because you can win most of the scenarios without having to go into that
section. Even the Blue Sun scenarios?
Yeah, even the Blue Sun scenarios.
Hmm.
So it's almost like not worth doing.
So it's not a necessity.
Correct.
It doesn't harm the game?
Yeah.
Does it?
Not at all. It does make things a little bit more difficult, especially to teach a new player.
Hmm.
I haven't actually tried to teach a new player the game just based on the sheer size and length of it. especially with the expansion built in. The expansion that I will say was fantastic is the Pirates and Bounty Hunters expansion.
Have you seen that one? I picked that up. I definitely got that. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, partly for me, I mean, Jane is my favorite character in that show.
My sister has a Jane hat.
I actually do as well. Somewhere. My friend made it for me.
Man wears a hat like that.
You know, he is not to be trifled with or something like that. I don't actually know.
I think he's not afraid of...
He's not afraid of anything.
Yeah, something like that. Whatever.
He ain't a fear.
Way to just completely botch all Firefly quotes.
I'm pretty sure we did, but that I'm all right with it.
Yeah, I am too. That's fine.
But I saw that box. I'm like, Jane is on the cover of this box. I must have it. I didn't even care what it was all about. And
I was all about it because I heard that it introduced a lot more player interaction, and that, well, I don't think the game needed it. Was something I was really excited to see come to the game.
That's something that I really like to see out of expansions is introducing another element of player interaction. The deeper the interaction, the better off the game, I think, or the expansion is as a whole.
I think you could say that for a lot of just games in general, too. I mean, I don't necessarily mind it, but there are a lot of those games where you're playing your own game. Mm-hmm. Trying to beat somebody else.
Yeah, and that's, it's not necessarily a bad thing. There's a number of strategies in a number of games that, like, you can either take the hyper interactive version, or you can do I'm going to play my own game and let you mm-hmm. sort of do your thing. Mm-hmm. And Firefly does that, actually, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah, you can spend your whole time avoiding. I mean, it's a big board with a lot of places to go, and you can, dart around and not, if you've got the fuel for it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a game that you and I have played called Skrull that does that.
Mm.
You can get into ship-to-ship combat and try and wipe your opponent right off the board, but you can also play it safe and be on completely the other side of the map from everybody else, just hopping around from wormhole to wormhole trying to conquer planets that way.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that really works to your advantage, depending on who your captain would be. Because they have those asymmetrical captain powers. If you don't have a captain who's necessarily better at combat, ship-to-ship combat, Merchants and Marauders does the same thing. That's why it's Merchants or Marauders.
Yeah, exactly. Which is interesting. I hadn't actually given that any thought. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's one of those games. It can get a little bit more difficult to do in a 3 or 4 player game, especially if the NPC boats start coming out.
Yeah.
But in a 2-player game, you can go a whole game without fighting at all. So, and that's sort of a play-your-own game.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, a lot of people like that. A lot of people
absolutely.
Don't like their ships destroyed and their captains murdered and all their goods stolen.
Yeah, especially... whatever. I like that, especially that kind of strategy, especially when I'm first learning a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think... not that the learning curve is too steep for that, but if somebody who knows just the advantages or whatever. A lot about that game, too, is though you get a random captain, and mm-hmm. different captains are good at different things. So sometimes you just play to your captain's strength. I've heard a lot of people also start out as a merchant, and then if they want to, they will later become a marauder, a pirate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think a lot of people would play Skrull that way, too. If you could actually choose your captain instead of drawing a random one.
Yeah, they might. I just want to give everybody a heads up. Skrull is actually out of print.
It is.
We own, you have 2 copies, right?
I do, I own
Yeah,
two
but
copies.
It's not going to be something you're going to be able to find very easily.
It's very true.
Just a heads up. We're talking about this game, but nobody else is going to play it.
Yeah, that's true. That said, a game that we have been playing lately that has a very strong player-to-player interaction base is called Blood Bowl Team Manager.
Oh, yeah. You brought that over the other night.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Fantasy Flight did an incredible job adapting a kind of inaccessible Games Workshop product to a card game. And I'll be perfectly honest, football is not my thing. I have tried and tried and tried to get into it, and... because the people I work with are all like, oh, well, it's Super Bowl season or whatever. And I'll
Super
be like,
Bowls, you are really not a football guy.
No, I'm not. And I'll be like, oh, okay, that's great. I'm going to go watch hockey over here. And so
that football theme wasn't a draw for you.
Correct. But then you tell me that dwarves and elves and orcs and goblins are playing football.
So I am the fantasy sucked you in.
100% on board. That sounds so ridiculous to me. And I know like the basic concepts of football. I know what a field goal is. I know what a touchdown is.
Right,
I know what,
right.
You know, I know the job of the referee is to basically stall for time so you can run more commercials.
Yeah.
but
the, just a little caveat to that is I don't think that would have helped you. Because you don't need to know anything about football to enjoy this game.
Entirely correct. And that is why I found that game to be so accessible. It was a theme that I was amused by, and you didn't need to know anything about it other than exactly what I just said. It's orcs and goblins and dwarves and elves and humans and ratmen, etc., Skaven, playing football and knocking the ever-loving stuffing out of each other. And
yeah, it was cool. There was a lot of it was all asymmetrical. Everybody has their own starting deck. But I really like that there's special characters like star players that you build another deck.
And I love the fact that you can, if you're playing two players from the same league, if you're if you've got two teams, like for example, you were playing the Wood Elves, I believe, and Katie was playing, my girlfriend was playing the humans, and all those star players get shuffled into the same pile.
Right, so I ended up with a bunch of really good humans on my elf team.
Right, so if you're playing as the same as someone else, you can end up that way, and it just makes your team all that much better and more.
Well, you
got to
be careful, I think, because it can make your team better. Like for the elf, I got a lot of extra strength, needed tackling ability in high numbers. But the elves, especially the way my special, you know. Individual team powers were coming out. It was all about ball control. That's why I think a lot of the times they have that look at two, pick one. Because right. I do think there are some better fits. But it was still great. It was a great experience.
Yeah, and the expansions for that not only fit in the base box very nicely.
Oh yeah,
the, except I was for the always annoying Fantasy Flight insert.
Oh, those are the worst.
That drives every Fantasy Flight fan nuts.
Yeah,
but I mean, even you just lift those up a little bit and you're good to go. You can store the entire set, all the base game plus both expansions underneath that box. And the expansions add so much to that game.
Well, just to touch on that, I was surprised when you told me you owned all of the expansions, both of them.
Yeah.
And they fit in that tiny little box. I thought that was great.
Fantasy Flight did such a good job saying, all right, this is what is essential to give you the ideal Blood Bowl experience. they have, I think, six...
Something they would have a lot of experience with. The ideal Blood Bowl experience.
Yeah, right? They have six races in the base box, plus three in each expansion. And each expansion adds a level of depth to it. For example, the Foul Play expansion... adds a corrupt ref, which we didn't get to use, and I'm really excited to play that game again and try out the corrupt ref. But it also adds like special cheating tokens that give you penalties that could be beneficial in some way or could be terrible.
I got destroyed by one of those when I lost one of my strongest characters in a thing because he got caught cheating.
Exactly. And, you know, the Sudden Death expansion, which is the sort of necromancers and zombies and vampires and such, we saw the Dark Elves played the other day, and...
Yeah, they were cool.
They were really cool. I mean, it actually felt like they were, you know, sneaking up behind you and sticking a knife in your back. I thought for sure...
In real life, too.
Yeah, well, I thought for sure that there was a tournament that I was going to win. I had the cards to take it down. I was going to get a bunch of fans, bunch of victory points. And out of nowhere, here come the Dark Elves with all these ridiculously good players. Or, like, I would even say ridiculously mediocre players. But they were perfect to get the job done.
Yeah, they chained off really well.
Yeah. And I think they really, really nailed how deep to bring this game.
So you... wouldn't want another expansion?
Or... I don't think I would, to be honest. The latest expansion... So the Foul Play came out last year. I thought it was earlier than that, but...
That's pretty new.
It is. It's surprisingly new. Blood Bowl Team Manager has been out since 2011.
Okay, a couple of years.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years.
And I think not only is the timing really, really good. The first expansion came out in 2013, the second in 2014, And I haven't seen anything on Fantasy Flight's website to imply that there's another one coming out. And frankly, they've touched on all the, let's say, popular races in the Warhammer Fantasy universe. And I think that's just where they should stop, at least for the time being.
Well, I mean, you always run that risk, too, of, on one hand, if it's going to be a great expansion that adds a lot, you want it. On the other hand, you can take it a step too far, and you're just like, this is not an expansion worth playing with. One of the first things that comes to mind is my wife and I have Killer Bunnies, Quest for the Magic Carrot game.
I know exactly where you're going with that.
Yeah, we got the set that came with the blue, which is the base set, and the yellow, mm-hmm. which is really the new base set, is the blue and yellow. And then we kept going. We bought the purples and the reds and the oranges and this and that, and we loved all of it. And then we got to the green. I think it's the green. The one that adds the Zodiac cards.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first expansion where we were like, we might consider taking some of these or all of them out. And we haven't purchased a single expansion past the green.
And I think Killer Bunnies is not the only example of that. I know there was a time when I was so into, like, Cards Against Humanity, for example.
Mm.
And, like, I had the base box and I had the first and second and third and fourth expansions. And I was like, wait a minute. Does this actually add anything to any level of depth to the game? Or is it just more of the same?
Right, right. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But I've heard, like, Munchkin. We have the Pathfinder Munchkin.
Mm-hmm.
Theme, and you play that game by itself and it's a lot of fun. We can usually be done with a game 4 players, 45 minutes, but I'd heard before I ever got to play Munchkin that it could drag on for
yeah.
a while. And I was talking to some of the guys at the game store and they were telling me what happens is people like the different themes, like they like the Western theme and the Pathfinder theme and the Cthulhu theme, and they merge them all together.
Right.
Because you can mix and match the decks however you want. But the problem is when you've got all those cards, you can, because you're flipping over and you're trying to fight monsters, and that's how you win the game. But
right.
when you've got all this other stuff in the game that isn't monsters, it can be just run on trying to get to that card.
Right. And I think Flux works a lot the same way. The card backs are all the same, so conceivably, yeah, you could mix them all together.
Mm.
But the versions don't mesh, or at least not particularly well.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever tried to mix any.
Yeah, I tried it with Cthulhu Flux and Monty Python Flux, and they didn't match up at all.
No?
No, not at all.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've never tried it. But it brings us back to the whole thing. So if Fantasy Flight posted tomorrow that they were coming out with a new thing, would you at least look at it, or would it be a try before you buy, or would you just be like, I have enough, I'm done?
I think I would certainly look at it. I would be likely to try it. Because
I just don't want it.
I just don't think I want it right now.
Don't make it exist. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, there are races that are not represented in Blood Bowl, but like, you've got the Wood Elves, you've got the Dark Elves. I don't think you need the High Elves. And especially if... I know, Doug, you don't follow the Warhammer Fantasy lore at all.
Right.
But right now, the High Elves died out, or were, I guess, absorbed by the Dark Elves. The Lizardmen left the planet, and, you know, it would be hard for them to bring all that
to
stuff
incorporate
back.
Them.
So,
I mean, but the game doesn't really follow the lore, does it? I mean, it's just
it
sort
doesn't,
of...
especially considering that the Chaos Dwarfs exist in one of the Blood Bowl expansions. And they were retconned probably 3 or 4 editions ago of Warhammer Fantasy.
Retconned as in they don't exist
They don't
anymore?
Exist anymore. Which is a huge bummer to me, because that's the race I want to play. and I have lots and lots of dwarfs, but no Chaos Dwarfs.
Well, now you've got them in your football league.
Exactly.
No, that was a fun game, though.
Yeah.
I like the different footballs with the different powers. So if you had ball control, you'd either earn victory points at the end, or would add towards your total to win.
Mm-hmm.
It could do a bunch of different stuff. That was really cool.
And there's a number of different strategies and depths of strategies that you can use. The first time I played it, Eric and I were just trying to figure it out, and he mm-hmm. just sort of took every flag symbol he possibly could to get fans. Whereas the second
which
time
are
I played
victory
it,
points.
Right.
So not necessarily a bad idea.
The second time I played it, I played with Jack, and he took I'm just going to take every management card I can and try and get you that way.
Mm.
Which is sort of the strategy I adopted the other night when I played against you guys. I was in either dead last or second to last for most of the game, and I actually ended up winning that one because I had...
Because we called it two rounds early.
Yeah,
and we were all afraid of my devastating hand of fives.
Yeah, either that or we just wanted shortcake, but...
yeah, shortcake was good.
It was. Anyway, I think expansions are just such a really huge topic, and I think we'll probably have to come back and revisit some of these aspects in the future. But for now, if you want to check out some of our older episodes of this podcast and some of our other work, head on over to www.anotherletdown.com. We also want to give a huge thanks to our editor, Jody Wagner. We really couldn't pull this podcast off without her.
Thank you, Jody.
She's done an awesome job. Mm-hmm. If you have some feedback for us, you can reach us on Twitter. My name is at DENONCZD, and Doug is at ITSOKTOLAFF. From all of us here at Adjacent Hex, happy gaming, and we'll talk to you next month.
I'm going to stop recording now.